Okay, so here we go. We're coming up to what everyone knows is obviously the holiest day of the year. Purim's the highest day of the year, and everyone knows that the Arizal says that Yom Kippur, which everyone thinks is the highest, holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur is really Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim. It's not even on the level of Purim. Because Purim is the highest level of what the whole purpose of existence is. And what's the whole purpose of existence? Revealing Hashem. I hope of what we're doing here on this planet, on this physical world, in Olam Hazeh, is to reveal spirituality within the world. And on Yom Kippur, we know that we do that by disconnecting from the physical world. We don't eat and we don't drink and we wear white and we spend all day praying. And it's a very, very high level to become spiritual by detaching from physicality. And we know that this is done in the East. I lived in Asia for 6 years doing Buddhist meditation and living in caves and fasting. And it's a very high level to be able to cut off from physicality in order to be spiritual. But we always say that Jewish spirituality is much more difficult because we have to try and be spiritual within the physicality. To not detach from the physical world, but to use the physical world in such a high and conscious way that we're revealing spirituality, we're revealing our soul, and we're revealing Hashem within the physical world. And the book we're going to read, the Megillat Esther, which means the scroll of Esther, also means revealing the hidden. Megillah means the scroll, but it comes from the word Megaleh, which means to reveal. And Esther is the name of the queen, but Esther comes from the word Hester, which means hidden. So we're revealing the hidden. And everyone knows that what is hidden is Hashem's name. Hashem's name never appears in the Megillah. But we see that after there are so many coincidences and everything's just going exactly to plan, Rav Defsler says at some point when the coincidences add up so much, you realize it's not a coincidence anymore and it must be Hashem. And that's what we're doing. We're revealing Hashem in this physical world, the whole purpose of our existence. And we know that this is the month of Adar. And Adar comes from the word Adir, which means strength, strong. But it's also, our sages teach us, is Aleph. Aleph always represents God, because Aleph is one. And Hashem is Alufa Shel Olam, the master of the world. And Dar means to live, like in Israel, you live in Adira, it's the place you live. So Aleph Dar, Adar is the time when Hashem is really, really with us. In Nisan, which is related to the word Nisim, miracles, we see that Hashem is revealed in open miracles and there are crazy plagues and there's crossing the sea. But in Adar, we have to find and reveal that Hashem is really here with us and within us. And that's why we always read these parshas at the same time, because these parshas are always about building the Mishkan. And the Mishkan is the place where we're going to bring godliness into the world. And Hashem says, Asuli Migdash v'shachanti v'tocham. You should make me this holy place, and I will, famously, it doesn't say v'shachanti v'tocho, I'm going to live in it. It says v'shachanti v'tocham, I'm going to live within every Jew. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make ourselves into a holy place, because we don't have a Mishkan and we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. You have to make your heart a place that Hashem wants to live in, a place that Hashem wants to hang out in, and your thoughts, your minds and your desires and what's driving you and all your motivations. Are you purifying them to the level where Hashem kind of wants to come and hang out with you? And Shechanti is the word Shechina. That's where the Shechina, God's presence, needs to be within us and through us, and we have to be living in line with that. And that's why also in these parshas we just read about all the Kohen's clothes, all the big day kahuna. And we see that on Purim we also dress up. We're dressing up. We have these ideas of clothes, because the word for to get dressed up in Hebrew is lehitchapes. Lehitchapes, the word for a costume is tachposhet. Lehitchapes. We all know that the word lehit chapes, if you break it down, chipus chapes means to look for. Ani mechapes mashu, I'm looking for something. And lehit is always reflexive. Lehit kaleach, lehit labesh. Lehit means something you're doing to yourself. So lehit chapes means that you're looking for yourself. You're going through this deeper level of but what self are we looking for? We're looking for our spiritual self. our deeper self, our essential self. And what's getting in the way of our essential, deepest spiritual self? It's our ego self, our taiva and our gaiva, our craving and our needing honor and respect I want it my way, and what I want is important, ego. So this is why also we say we drink. What's the point of drinking? It says, Chayef inish libasume. You have to get libasume ad de lo yada bein aro haman v'baruch Mordechai. You have to get to a place where we're going to drink enough wine, and you've got to be very careful, by the way. If you can't control yourself, if you're going to lose self-control, then you're not actually allowed to drink wine. We're actually drinking wine in a very, 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 very conscious way. We're not chugging. There's no chugging vodka. We're drinking wine in a very slow and conscious way in order to get to this place of ad de lo yada, where you go to a place where I don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai, blessed is Mordechai, and Aro Haman. Aro Haman is cursed is Haman. So we're basically saying to get to a place of such a high consciousness where we don't see the difference between good and evil, because we have emuna. And emuna means that everything's good. Everything that's coming into my life, even that it looks bad, it really is good. So that's what we're trying to reveal. And this all obviously starts back in Gan Eden. Gan Eden, they ate from the Eitz Das Tov V'Ra. We have this idea of Ledat, to know. So that was the first thing. Hashem says, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is strange in itself, by the way, because surely we want to know the difference between good and evil. One of the first brachas we make in the morning is, Anaten l'sech v'ivina levchin ben yom ve'layla. You gave me the intelligence to understand between night and day, between dark and light, between good and evil. But we know that the word ladat means to have an intimate knowledge. We know that when Adam and Chava were first physically intimate, is called ladat, to know. The physical intimate act is called knowing. So das is an intimate knowledge of something. And Hashem says, I don't want you to have an intimate knowledge of evil. The snake was evil, an external evil voice. And once they ate from the fruit, they internalized the voice and evil kind of became part of them, which was not meant to be the case. So what we're trying to do is to go to a place, ad de lo yada, which is to go back before the sin. Obviously, there are two ways to get to a place where you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, and that is drink so much that you just throw up and pass out. That would be one way. But that's going below das. That's going under das. We don't want to go under das. We want to go above das. We want to go back beyond to a place before we had all this firstly ego and craving, and I like this and I don't like this, and I want this and this, I have it what I want, and it should be like this and it shouldn't be like that, and our whole analytical mind. Hashem is saying to us, we've got to go to a place where we're beyond the analytical mind and the ego, and we're back in a world of complete unity consciousness with Hashem. And we actually know that Ad de lo yada is Roshe Tevot, the first letters spell yada, to know, but backwards, because it's all backwards on Purim. So we want to go to a place where to really know Hashem, to have an intimate relationship with Hashem, we need to get to a place where we are before the chet of eating of the Eitz Das Tov V'Ra. That's how you can only know Hashem. The fall of mankind that happened in Gan Eden was that we completely detached from our unified consciousness of Hashem, and we went against what Hashem wanted, and we've had to try and fix that since then. That's basically what we're doing. So really, that's what we're trying to reveal in Purim. Even the name, why is Purim called Purim? Purim is the goral. How do you say goral? The lots. Purim is the lots that Haman used to decide when he's going to kill the Jews. Who would ever call their festival after the thing that the enemy are trying to use to kill us? It's a ridiculous idea. It should be called, we won the war. I don't know what it should be called, but Purim's a ridiculous name. But we know that Haman says, what are the lots? It's basically random. Haman's saying it's all random. I'll just pick any random thing and I will choose a date and I'll kill you all on that date. So we call it Purim Davka because we say nothing's random. Hashem's controlling everything. Hashem chooses what date things happen on, and everything's in control. So it might look like it's all random, but it's not random at all. Hashem's controlling everything. And that's what Haman is. What is Amalek? We just read Parshas Zachor. Amalek is Asher Karcha Bederech. And what does Karcha Bederech mean? So Rashi gives many different explanations, but one of them is, comes from the word Mikre. Mikre means coincidence. It just happens. The force of Amalek in the world, and we know that Amalek is Gematria Safek, which is doubt, is just to say it's all coincidence. Nothing's actually controlled by Hashem. And Karcha also comes from the word to cool off, to be cold. So it means he cools off our passion for Hashem, and we might go through our Jewish life, but we're not doing it with deep passion. We're just kind of going through the motions. So this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to this place of nothing is a coincidence. It's not Mikre. And even the Goral, the poor, the lots themselves, Hashem's controlling everything. Beautiful. So those are all ideas that we've heard over and over again every year. But so what are we meant to do? What does it mean? You've got to come out of Purim and say to yourself, I had a really good Purim. I really had a good Purim. What does it mean to have a good Purim? What's the avoda of Purim? So obviously, if you're some frat boy, you're like, I just got wasted and it was great. So you are all on a much higher level than that. But when you're thinking to yourself, I had a really good Purim, what are you going to say? You're going to say to yourself, well, I drank and I did drink a lot and I got to a very high state of simcha, but I didn't lose my self-control, and I heard some beautiful Torah, and I got a bracha from my Rebbe, and I got dressed up in a interesting uniform, and the food was good, and Purim's the highest day of the year to pray, so I prayed, I spent a lot of my time praying, and I prayed for everything I need, and I prayed for my Torah learning and my health, and I had, that's a really good Purim. I just want to tell you now, that is a terrible Purim. Why? Because you missed the whole most important, ikkah, main, momentous, relevant, significant, whatever the other adjectives we used for this thing, you missed the whole point of Purim. What is the whole point of Purim? What is the key to revealing your neshama? And the key to revealing Hashem, and the key to getting before the sin of the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What's the key to everything we've been saying? There's one key, and that key is Mesirut Nefesh. Mesirut Nefesh. Mesirus Nefesh. What does that mean? It means that it's not about you at all. It's not about you. It's not about how good your Purim was. It's not about how drunk you got. It's not about if you got a bracha from your Rebbe. It's not about how much Torah you learned. It's actually exactly the opposite. It's about other people. It's about how you let go of what you want to be the thing. And you made sure that everyone else was having a good time. Very, very important. And this is really the ikka, main, important, powerful, relevant DNA of what it means to be a Jew. What is it? Where do we get this from? Where do we get Mesirus Nefesh from? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, Hashem says to him, Kach na et bincha. Take your son and sacrifice your son. A crazy thing, by the way. Go against everything you want, everything you know to be true, everything you love, everything you've been teaching. Go against everything. By the way, the Ran says it wasn't a commandment. Hashem didn't command Avram to take his son. That would be too easy. If Hashem commands it, he commands it. But he said, if you look at the Pasuk, it says, Kach na ed bincha, please take him. I.e., you don't have to take him. But I want you to. I want you to take your son. Why? Mesirus Nefesh. Completely get rid of your sense of self. Mevatel. Nullify your ego. What you want. What is? Forget about you. Completely let go of everything. So in a way, Avram wasn't sacrificing his son. He was sacrificing himself. Obviously, he was sacrificing his son as well. And Yitzhak, by the way, also he was sacrificing himself. The highest avoda, the highest spiritual work, is to actually, it's not about me. I'm not in this for me. That's not the game. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for everyone else. Now, it's a very high level, by the way, and you have to live for yourself first. You have to build up your sense of self and your sense of self-respect so much to get to the place where I don't need anything more, and now I've gone beyond myself. I'm going beyond myself, beyond my ego. Ad lo yada. This is good. I want this. This is bad. This is my judgment. I don't have it. We said in the last class, you get upset when things don't go your way. So how do you deal with that? How do you never get ever get upset again? Don't have your way. Because if you don't have your way, things can't not go your way because you don't have your way. So I just have Hashem's way. It says in Pirkei Avot, Ta'aseh Ratzonoi K'Ratzoncha. You should make Hashem's will your will. Get rid of what you want and just do what Hashem wants. And we all know, obviously, that your deepest will, your neshama will, that is what Hashem wants. You don't want to receive the whole time. Your neshama just wants to give. Neshama is giving all the time. And where do we see this happens in the Megillah? The like key ultimate point to the Megillah is we're all going to get destroyed. Haman has this whole decree, is going against us. Mordechai sends a message to Esther and says, look, Esther, we need some help here. You better go in there and sort it out. Esther writes back and says, but what are you talking about? I can't go and see the king. He hasn't called me for 30 days and it's dangerous and I'll be giving up my life. What would you expect Mordechai to say to Esther? Mordechai should say to Esther, but Esther, we need you. We need you. You're our only hope. You're the queen. You're in the palace. We need you. He doesn't say that. He says exactly the opposite. We don't need you at all. We don't need you. You're insignificant. I don't care about you. We're going to be saved anyway. Get rid of yourself. Who cares? You live, you die. Well, you've got to completely nullify yourself. And Esther got that. So Mordechai says to Esther, we don't need you to save us. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to live for yourself? This is good for me. This is what I want. Or are you going to live for your people? You're going to go completely beyond yourself to the point of such mesiras nefesh that I'm willing to give up my life. Rav Noach always used to say to us, what would you give up your life for? And if there's nothing you'd give up your life for, what sort of life are you living? You're living such a self-centered, egotistical little life that it's just not worth living. It's not called life. Life is only when you go beyond yourself. And then a beautiful line, it says in the Megillah, "Betilbash Esther Malchut." Esther put on Malchut, which is translated as she put on royal clothing. But it doesn't say Big Day Malchut. It doesn't say, it says Malchut. She just puts on Malchut. And we all know that in the 10 Sfirot, the lowest Sfira, which is really the highest one, of course, is Malchut. And Malchut, Leit Migami Klum, Malchut has nothing. It has nothing of its own. It's just completely there to bring everything out into the world. So she, when it says Tilbash Esther Malchut, she put on this Malchus, what does it mean? Mesiras Nefesh. She just completely let go of any sense of self or what she wants, and she lived for a much, 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 much higher cause. So how do we also learn this? The mitzvahs. What is the mitzvah? What is the main mitzvah of the day? I'm going to read Rambam for you. Here we go. Mutav la'adam leharbot b'matana sev yayinim milharbot b'sudato mishlach manas l'reu. It is very important that you give more matanas lev yayinim. You give charity, you give money, give all your money away. It's much more important than having a big suda and mishlach manas. It's crazy. Everyone's spending days before preparing their cute little mishloach manas and their little packets and their little bows. And you just got to give two things to two people. Just write a note to everyone else and say, look, I'm giving the rest of the money to the matanas levyanim. I'm just giving it to them. Hashem doesn't like your suda. If you're sitting at your Purim suda and you're getting drunk and you're teaching amazing Torah, but you didn't really care about the poor people or anyone else, Hashem just doesn't want that. It's like, oh, you're so self-centered. Oh, my suda is so good. Beautiful Torah. I got a bracha Ridiculous. Watch this. She'ein sham simcha gedayla v'mfara ela l'smayach lev aniyim v'yatomim v'almanot v'geirim. Because there's no greater simcha. By the way, Rambam is Rambam. Don't mess with Rambam. He says there's no greater simcha than giving joy to other people. You think your greatest simcha is that you had a good vort and you had a nice bit of wine? That's your greatest simcha? That's nothing. That's not simcha at all. Simcha is only when you include other people. Why? Shamasamech lev ha'amalelim, people who give joy to the downtrodden people. Daim el shechina, you are like the shechina. You are like the divine. You become Hashem. You become like God's divine presence. By the way, I think this is why we dress up in a way. We're dressing up to say, it's not about me. I'm not even being me. There is no me. I'm just being whatever, Spider-Man. Whatever you're dressing up. I'm completely letting go of anything for me whatsoever. So this has to be the ikkah. So if you leave Purim and you're like, I got a bracha from my Rebbe and I did this, you messed it up. What you have to do is you have to leave Purim and say, I had a great Purim. Oh, really? Why? Because I gave a bracha to my Rebbe. I gave a bracha to that person. I was overflowing with love. It wasn't I had enough wine. It was I made sure that everyone else had enough wine. And you know what? I even gave up some of them. I planned to drink 2 bottles of wine, but someone else needed, so I gave it up. So I didn't get to drink as much as I wanted to. I wanted to drink much, so I didn't get to add the layada, but my friend did. Ah, then you had a real Purim. Then you had a real Purim. When it's not about you, give it up. My Rebbe actually says you can't really prepare for Purim because it's the layada. You just can't get it. Purim is a complete balagan, by the way. People who you invite don't turn up. People who you don't invite do turn up. There's things all over the place. No one knows what's going on. It's going to start at 1. It starts at 4. It ends at... But what's that teaching us? Get over it. It's not going to happen how you want it to happen. Forget it. Let go. It doesn't need to happen. It has to happen how Hashem wants it to happen. I'm learning the Yesod. Oh, I left it downstairs. I'm learning the Yesod V'Shoyesh Avodah at the moment. And it's amazing. And he says the Ikka Kavana, the main Kavana, the main intention you have to have in all your Ma'asim and your Dibarim and your Machshavot, all your thoughts and your speech and your action, is to give Nachas Ruach to Hashem. Is this giving Hashem Nachas? Is Hashem proud of me? Is this, it's got nothing to do with how much pleasure you're getting or how fun it is for you. Is Hashem proud of me? Is Hashem proud of me? And also Nachat Ruach, literally, lanuach means to rest. When you get on a plane and the plane is landing, it's lanuach, it's nachat. Lanuach, and ruach is spiritual energy. So you're bringing down Hashem's spiritual energy. What's going to do that? Where does Hashem want to hang out? Hashem wants to hang out in a person who's completely let go of their ego and they're just here to serve other people. I'm just here to serve Hashem, make sure everyone else is okay. So really, the best thing would be for nothing to go your way on Purim. That would be the best Purim. You know, I had the best Purim. Everything was great. The food and this. That's a terrible Purim. Yeah, I had the best Purim. Nothing worked out. I couldn't find the Suda where I was meant to be. And my wine smashed on the floor. And I messed up. But you know what? I gave all my money away. I just gave it all away. By the way, whatever you're going to spend on the meal and on your whatever you're going to get dressed up in, and on wine, you should be spending at least that much, if not double that, on Matanas Le'Evyanim. Rambam's not joking here. It's not just a night. This isn't a vort. You've got to go and get so drunk that you just give all your money away. Be responsible. Don't blame me. But I think that would be a great Purim. Give all your money away. It says in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the Gemara, it says everywhere, you should give Kol HaPoshet Yad, not Nimlo. Anyone who sticks their hand out, the Hasidic Rebbe's say, don't say poshet yad, stick out their hand, say pashut yid. Kol pashut yid, not nimlo. Anyone who's just a pashut yid, just be a simple Jew. Just be a pashut yid. Kol pashut yad, anyone who sticks their hand out, just give them. Don't judge, does he need it? Does he not need it? I don't know. Don't do that. Just give. Why not give? Just keep giving. Just give it to everyone. So they say that is the highest day of the year for tefillah. Is the biggest day of the year to pray. Why? Because Kol HaPoshet Yad Not Nimlo. Anyone who sticks out their hand you give to them, so too Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs. So if we give to anyone who sticks out their hand, so if we stick out our hand to Hashem, then Hashem has to give to us. So it's a very, very powerful day for prayer. And we, or everyone teaches this, that the Yetzer Hara says, oh my goodness, it's such a powerful day for prayer. Let's get them so wasted that they forget to pray. We're going to get them so wasted that they forget to pray. You can't do that. You have to get so wasted that you just can't stop praying. That's how you want to get wasted. By the way, when secrets go in, when it says, Nichnas Yayin Yetzis Sod. When wine goes in, wine is Gematria 70. Secrets come out. Secrets, Sod is Gematria 70. But what secrets are coming out? Is it the secret, if it's like you just get arrogant, you start drinking and you get arrogant, and then you carry on drinking, and then you just realize how broken and in pain you are, and you just start crying and throw up out of your nose and pass out. So is that the secret that's coming out? You know what your secret is? It's your neshama. Yayin, the wine goes in, what's got to come out is your neshama. Your brachas, your love, you just got to be full of love. So people say it's the most important day of the year for davening. So I davened all day. Hashem, help me with this. Wrong. If it's the most powerful day for davening, then daven all day for other people. Spend all day davening for other people. Yeah, have it. I don't mind. Or you could do 90-10. 10% for yourself, but just spend all day. So practically, by the way, do you know what you should do? Write a list of people you know and what you think they need. And when you get very drunk, get out the list and cry, Hashem, please, this person needs a shidduch, this person needs health, this person needs, just spend all day. You come out of Purim and say, I had the best Purim ever, I couldn't stop praying for myself, and it's the biggest day to pray, you had a bad Purim. I had the best Purim ever, I couldn't stop praying for other people. I just want other people, please, Hashem, just, that is an amazing Purim. Because what gives Hashem nachas ruach, what gives Hashem pride in the Jewish people is when we look after each other. Look at, I got the best story. So I've been in England for a while. I was in England for 2.5 weeks, and I just went home for 3 days, and I've just come back again. My father, Yosef ben Menucha, should be very well. Be'ezus Hashem. So I got home, and I saw my daughter, 11-year-old daughter, 9-year-old son. 11-year-old daughter and 9-year-old son. They basically get on pretty well. They're in a completely different worlds, by the way. An 11-year-old girl, 9-year-old boy, they're in different worlds. But they tend to get on over. They have some problems together. Anyway, so I've been away for a long time. And I came home and they showed me their school reports. And my daughter, amazing, Mitsuyan, she's the top of the class in everything, and her character traits and everything. And then my son showed me his. And he's doing very well in school and he's got good midah. And I got some nachas. But then my daughter said, like a few days ago, Abba, Imma went upstairs. She took Shimshon. We got the 4-year-old. So Imma took Shimshon upstairs to our room, and she fell asleep with Shimshon reading him a story. And usually I read Binyamin a story, or my wife, but she fell asleep. So my 11-year-old daughter walked past Binyamin's room and saw him with a torch, a flashlight, kind of reading a book to himself. And my daughter said, Binyamin, would you like me to read you a story? So Tamara got into Binyamin's bed with him and basically read him a story. Now that's what gives the tati nachas. Okay, mazel tov, you got a good tuda. But I was like, oh my goodness. I could just imagine the scene. The Imma's fallen asleep with Shimshon, the 4-year-old. And Binyamin's on his own. And he usually has someone reading him a story, but no one's reading him a story. And Tamara Menucha steps in, 11 years old, and reads her brother a story. I'm like, oh, nachas for the tati. So that's a good Purim. So Be'ezet Hashem, we should be blessed that nothing goes our way on Purim. Nothing, it should all not go our way. And it should go, you've got to understand, because it's going Hashem's way. So we got to make sure. This is the key, most important, momentous, relevant thing you could ever know. That on Purim, you want to get ad lo yada. You want to get beyond yourself. Get beyond your ego. Get beyond your own desires. And once you do drink enough and you have all those good things, you just got to be a fountain of love and giving and brachas and blessings, and make sure everyone else has got something to eat and everyone else has got something to drink. And then fill your pockets with a little bit more money than you feel comfortable giving away, and give it away. Besimcha. Be'ezot Hashem, we should all be zeicha to have a uplifting Purim go ad de la yada. B'ezrat Hashem, Purim Sameach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Besimcha. Oh, I don't know how to get out.